Thank you, Pastor. Delight to be with you and to share this time. I'm going to be starting with you in the book of Romans. You've already turned to that chapter. I hope you'll get back to it. The issue of our study this morning is whether the Apostle Paul understood what it meant when God said to him, Paul, listen, you've got to listen to my instructions and you've got to understand my truth. But there's a young boy that's going to be born in South Carolina in 1937, and he's going to need the gospel, and I'm sending you to get it to him. And I want to make sure that you are a faithful responder to that, because he's going to have a lot of friends over there. They're going to be called Gentiles, but I want my message to get to those dirty, unreached people over in the United States. And the apostle said, I'll head out, but I'm probably going to need some instructions on it. Now we raise a question today is, so whether those of us in the western part of Europe and the United States would have died and gone to hell if the missionary hadn't been faithful and the churches back in the Middle East hadn't allowed him and sent him to go and come to us. Now, that's an issue that a lot of us are facing these days in our Baptist churches. Because, unfortunately, there are a lot of people in our Baptist churches who look at people who still haven't gotten the gospel, and we say, let them do it on their own way. Their gods are good enough for them. There's another way to heaven other than through our Jesus Christ here. And some of us may be inflicted with that kind of nonsense. So this morning, my Bible study with you is something like this, and I don't have a good title on it necessarily, but are those people without Christ going to hell when they die? I was listening to a television talk show quite a few years ago, and one of the Christian antagonists was the guest on there, and there was a Christian servant on that talk show, and the antagonist raised a question or statement like this, said, the problem with you Christians is that you believe that your Jesus is the only one who can get to heaven. Oh, I wish I'd been on that other side of that table with him. I'd have just ripped hard and gone right. Let me get back to the subject. And the question is a lot of people in churches like ours believe that the antagonist has a good point. And that's so absolutely ridiculous. Here's how I would respond to the fellow. First of all, I would have said to him, which heaven are you talking about? Because you see, in the minds, he's got all sorts of different kinds of heavens out there. Heavens that have been made by termites and ground molds. And, you know, everybody makes a heaven. There's a temple. I was introduced sometime over in South India to a temple that had been dedicated to 25 million different gods. I imagine each one of them had a heaven. So I would have said, which heaven are you talking about? And he said, well, I'm talking about the heaven that you Christians talk about. I say, oh, you mean the one that Jesus Christ built? And he had probably said something like yes. And I said, well, if you're talking about the heaven that Jesus Christ built, don't you think you ought to check with Jesus Christ to find out how the door works? And get rid of this Baptist idea that those people over there can get to heaven any way they want to. Now open in your Bible, Romans chapter 15, and let's see what this missionary did about that matter. I don't know whose this is, but it's not up here anymore. In Romans 15, here is what this man said. And by the way, this is a word of God, but it comes through a man by the name of Paul. So the missionary's name is Paul. He's a Jew, very well-trained Jew. I shared something last night about how extensive this man was in his intellectual power. And here is what came down in his life as we get to the end of this particular book of Romans. After understanding what God was doing, he said this in verse 16. I've done certain things, that's verses up through 15, now 16. I've done those things that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to Bob Alderman and his friends in Colorado Springs. It's written right there in verse 16. I want to be the minister. I want to be ministering the gospel of God, that the offering that Bob Alderman and his friends in Colorado Springs give up as Gentiles, that those may be acceptable. You see it written right there. Acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Now, I've just filled in the blanks. That's exactly what is written there. And that simply means that if missions had not worked in the first century to bring the gospel out of the Middle East, into Southern Europe, into Northern Europe, across the Atlantic, into the Western world of civilization in Europe, into the West of North America, South America, if that had not been there, those of our ancestors who are already dead and believers in Christ would not be in heaven. They'd be in hell. And you and your wife and your husband and your children be on your way. And I don't know about you, but it bothers me that somehow or another I can get to this point in life and say, well, let's cut out that and let's not take that seriously anymore. We got the gospel, let them go to hell. Now, the issue is whether or not we really believe this Bible to be accurate about their destiny. We come to our churches like Falcon Baptist, I hope we do, and we talk about believing the Bible is the Word of God. We talk about believing Christ as the only Savior. We talk about people needing Christ. But then when it comes to the idea of missions, we want to sit down somewhere else. So I'm going to raise and answer this question very, very quickly today. Are those individuals in those nations, or in Colorado Springs or in Falcon, are they without Christ really lost? So let's take a look at what the man did about it. I read that in verse 16. Verse 19, through mighty signs and wonders, doing the things that you don't think can happen. Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem, now that's his home place, from Jerusalem, and round about unto Illyricum, that's over in Europe, been very much in the news in the last 10 or 15 years, with all the conflict between in the Serbian regions and places like that. That's where all of that is. Gentile people, basically making up our Gentile ancestry. He then says this, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Now verse 21. Now it is also written that to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see that they have not, excuse me, I'm having trouble reading it. But as it is written, to whom he was not spoken of, they shall see, and they that have not heard shall understand. That's a beautiful statement. It's one of the reasons why this church has an annual missions conference. It's one of the reasons why this church has an opportunity for all of us to spend extra time in prayer for the effort for those who have not seen that they may see, and those who have not understood may understand. That's biblical. If we say we believe the Bible, you got to believe that verse also. So we're going to be doing something about it. Now I want to get into the essence of why the Bible and how the Bible teaches us that only in Christ is there hope for us and for them. And I don't want you to fall for this nonsense that there are many ways to get to heaven today, not the heaven of Christ. And so let's take a look at it. If we say we believe the Bible, I want to go through a list. Here's the list. Number one, about why we believe we must get the gospel to them. Other than through an idea that comes from somewhere other than the Bible. You won't find anywhere in the Bible that opens a possibility of a door that gets them into heaven other than through Jesus Christ. Every idea to the contrary of the Bible is a lie. It's deceitful. We have no reason to believe it. And every idea that they are not on their way to heaven comes from somewhere other than the Bible. Now, we really need to take that and chew on it. Because if we come to a church like this and we say we are Bible-believing Christians, we've got to believe that right now people that without this message of Christ are dying and going to hell. Number two, all of the Old Testament prophecy points toward the uniqueness, meaning one. When you use the word unique, you don't use an adjective or a describe a word for you. You don't say something like most unique. And the reason you don't say that is because when it's unique, it can't be most or it can't be less, because there's nothing else in the world to compare to it. Our Lord is unique. He's not most unique. He is one in a category of which there is no other. Now listen to it very carefully. The Old Testament prophecy puts very clearly to the uniqueness and to the exclusiveness of God's redemptive provision through our Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of them. So if you rule out the reality that Christ is the only way, you got to go into your Old Testament and tear out every lesson in that Old Testament. The promise that God gave to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. Abraham, listen to me carefully. I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to raise seed to you. And through that seed, I'm going to bless the ends of the earth. No other person. It won't be Muhammad. It won't be Buddha. It won't be any other kind of religion. It won't be any other kind of idea. Abraham, it's the seed that I'm giving you. And we all know that the unfolding of the Old Testament unfolds the coming reality of our Lord Jesus Christ. We got to know that. Every idea to the contrary of Christ being the only hope of the nations of the world is an idea that comes from somewhere other than the Bible. You go right on down through it. All the blood sacrifice, all the animals, Leviticus, all the detail of building the temple, everything that God was doing through all of that, God is saying, nothing else is going to satisfy me other than my detailed provision of my only begotten Son. And we really need to get that squared away in our thinking. And one of the things, one of the reasons I'm trying to be very serious about this matter today is that we've got a lot of people in our Baptist churches, when a mission conference is announced, we stay away from it. We really don't want to get tied up in it. We just say that's for a bunch of fanatics in the church. That mission is for narrow-minded individuals in the church who like to get excited about things. But no, that's not it. When you go back and you understand the Old Testament detail, and we say we believe it. I mean, after all, it's in the Old Testament that we get things like, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we like that. But if you like that, you got to take the rest with it. And when you take the rest with it, you're going to realize that God is bringing that funnel right down to say, I am preparing to send my only begotten Son, for in Him there will be life and in no other. And the Bible just goes on and on and on, accenting the reality of all of that. Number three, if there is another way of salvation, God's protective jealousy of His name is a losing battle. Let me give you the story. In Isaiah 42, verse 8, God said through that great old prophet, and that's the prophet that also said he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Upon him were laid all our transgressions. All of that beautiful prophecy, but that's also the same prophet who said this. God said it through him, I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I will not share with another. Now, is God lying? Try to paint a scenario for you. I've got to do it real quickly here. Our Lord goes back to heaven, comes down, He dies on the cross. And He goes back to heaven just like He said He was in His prayer with the Father in John chapter 17. He goes out to the mountain after His resurrection. The people gathered around see Him ascend up to heaven. And He goes up to heaven and He gets to heaven. And He looks over in one direction and He sees the glory of the throne of His Father. And He sees a lot of people going in that direction to the glory of the throne of His Father. But then He sees a group of other people going off in another direction. And as He approaches His Father's throne, He said, Father, where are those people going? And the Father said, well, son, I need to tell you this. I made that statement in the Old Testament that my glory I would never share with another. And I also made that statement in the New Testament that there was no other name under heaven given among men whereby they could be saved. But after we ran down through several centuries of humanity, people got some other ideas, and they got a little broad-minded, and they got antagonistic with that narrow-minded view that my glory was not going to be shared. And they started pointing their finger at heaven, and they started copping out on their Christian life. And they said, God, you got to broaden out. You got to wake up. We are in the 21st century right now, and you got to change your attitude about your special glory and your special son. We're not going to put up with that anymore. And if you hold on to that, we're going to quit going to your churches. And God the Father had to turn to Christ, his son, and said, Son, listen, I just had to break over. I had to get some modern ideas. We were losing our people. They were staying away from our churches. They were antagonizing us on radio and television talk shows. And the anthropologists and the sociologists in our universities were making fun of these narrow-minded believers, those who chose to believe in you and you only. And son, we were about to lose it. And so I gave permission to let some get to heaven another way. And the people that are going over there to worship are the ones that were in these tribal areas, and they knew there was a God somewhere. They just didn't know who he was and how to get in touch with it. And those people that are going over there came up with the idea that they really liked chicken. And they liked chicken gizzards so much that they wanted to pay some homage to chicken gizzard. So they decided then to make that chicken gizzard their God. And listen, son, they were real serious. They were really, really serious. And after all, son, we didn't get missionaries to them in time, and they didn't know about you yet, and they were dying, and we wanted to be broad-minded enough, so they took a chicken and ripped it open and got a gizzard and tied it on a stick and stuck the stick in the ground. And son, listen to how serious they were. Every holy day, the chicken gizzard holy day, they all gathered and worshiped the chicken. And I had to look at them and I said, well, you know, they were serious. They really meant what they said they worshiped. And by the time we got to the 21st century, I just had to give and take a little bit and drop off from my narrow-mindedness that you would be the only way to salvation. And so the people that are going the other way, away from my throne in heaven, they're going over there to give glory to chicken gizzards. Now you say, Alderman, did you come all the way from Virginia to tell a stupid story? Yeah, I did. And why did I do that? Because Baptist churches all, and I shouldn't say Baptist, churches that say they are Bible made up of a lot of people who believe that God has done just that. That he's decided to move with the times. To accept the criticism of the anthropologists and the sociologists and the so-called theologian who's decided to improve on God's plan. And therefore, the people in the churches are saying, well, since God has accepted our broad-mindedness and has not stuck with his narrowness, I don't really need to be a part of a missions conference. Missionaries are, after all, wasting their time because the gods of the chicken gizzard people are just as good. Now, you know that it's absolutely insane, stupid, idiotic, imbecilic for me to tell you a story like that. And quite frankly, I'm surprised that most of you hadn't gotten up and walked out. And the reason some of you haven't gotten up and walked out is because you're very courteous. You're very kind. You say, we don't want to embarrass Pastor Alderman. We don't want to embarrass Pastor Randall. We don't want to be embarrassed. But other than that, you probably had a good thought to just get up and leave and say, there goes that narrow-mindedness again. Why do you think our Lord said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Why do you think families like the Shays have done what they're doing? Why do you think that we have multiplied hundreds and hundreds of markets today. Indonesia, India, who are putting their life on the line to get the gospel of Christ to the people who haven't trusted him yet. Why do you think that professed Christian people in the United States take the very idea of world missions and sweep it to the side without an understanding of the mandate of our Lord Jesus Christ? The entire spectrum of God the Father offering Christ his Son to die on a cross is a spectrum of insurmountable religious fraud. Did you hear what I said? If there's another way to get to heaven without Christ, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is the biggest sham that has ever been propagated on the human race. The idea of him shedding his blood for the cleansing of our sin is a filthy, dirty, nasty joke of ridiculous shame if those people can get to heaven without Christ. If God allows plus Christ, then that means that when we get to heaven, we're going to cast our crowns before the most notorious liar the world has ever seen. Because he was the one who pulled our leg, blinded our eyes, confused our faith when he said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Not even nice Baptists, or nice Methodists, or nice Catholics, or nice Jews. No one other than by me. My friends, that is why you and I need to focus the reality of our devotion to the heart of God, just like our Father in heaven did with the man by the name of Paul, who said, out of Jerusalem into Illyricum, out of Illyricum into France and Spain and England, out of England into Colorado, Virginia, New York, out of there into the Bahamas, South Pacific, back to Asia, to China, to Indonesia, to India. That is why our Father in heaven said, that's your responsibility. That's yours. My friends, I dare you, I challenge you, regardless of where you are right now in your devotion to the will of God and to the mandate of our Father in heaven, if you are not a part of what God is doing to get the gospel to them, like he, through this missionary Paul, got it to us, I challenge you to change your attitude. I challenge you to change your disciplines. I challenge you to change your devotions. I challenge you to get with the heart of God that loved you and brought the gospel to you and brought life and light and hope to you and say, I'm going to do the same thing on behalf of those who don't have it yet. Would you bow and pray with me, please?